Wire starts now. And it's time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with host Dana Rodriguez, accompanied by technical editor Kara Pace and educator Lori Fisher.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
And it's gotta be our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Damian. Welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely Saturday morning. And we do hope you can spend the next hour with us, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, what we are looking for is your participation. We'd love to hear from you. We really do. So we do hope you will give us a call. We have two different numbers. The first is 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We also give you the option of emailing us. We'd rather talk to you, but if you want to email, that's fine too. That email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at kalw.org, or simply by turning on your radio. And also, you can hear our podcast after it is put up by Damian later on today. And that will also be at kalw.org and other places as well. But start with KALW. That's always appreciated. All right. Just once more, the numbers we have, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. We're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Kara Pace's view of the Northern Lights was thwarted this week by all the clouds. And where would you have seen them other than the sky? Any particular place in the sky?
Yeah, here in Northern California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Had it not been for the clouds, right?
Yeah, I don't know how the rest of the Bay Area did, but Pacifica was nothing but clouds.
Yeah, not good in the East Bay.
Mm. Oh, well. This week, Lori Fisher once again did not hear his name announced as a winner or even the loser of the Booker Prize, Latin Grammys, Earshot Awards, or I'm sorry, Earthshot Awards, or the Cy Young Trophy. Truth be told, it was not even whispered.
It was not. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, was in Milan, Italy, with only 4 months to go before the Winter Olympics. He didn't want anything to stand in the way of getting tickets to see synchronized curling.
Oh. Yeah, I like it when they wave the flags.
Yeah, you were going to watch it, or I thought you were going to participate. I thought you were a possible medalist.
If they ask. So that is us, and we get into questioning with Kara Pace.
All right, I have a lead-in question for you, followed by a list. The lead-in question is this. An animated sci-fi series that premiered on MTV's Liquid Television in 1991 was adapted as a live-action film in 2005. What was its title?
Can you tell us something, maybe what the genre is, kind of thing?
It was sci-fi.
You said that, I'm sorry.
So 1991, it's on TV, and then
yes.
In 2000 and something, it goes as a movie.
Yes.
You want to give us a hint who was in the movie, or is that a giveaway?
No, it's a giveaway. But I'll leave that leading question out then, and I will ask you my list question related, which is this. I'm going to give you some book titles or titles of books that were adapted into reasonably famous movies. I want you to tell me the title of the movie. So, for example, if I said Forrest Gump, you would tell me Forrest Gump, but they will not be that easy. So here's the list. Number one, Shoeless Joe. Shoeless Joe. Number two, Nothing Lasts Forever. Number three, Farewell, My Lovely. Number four, and probably my favorite, Make Room, Make Room. Number five, The Sheep Pig. Number six, All You Need Is Kill.
All You Need All Is What?
Kill, K-I-L-L. All You Need Is Kill. Yeah. Number seven is Red Alert. Number eight is Queen Bees and Wannabes. And the last one I'll do is The Short Timers.
Wow.
So Shoeless Joe by W.P. Kinsella. I'll give you the authors. Shoeless Joe. Number two is Nothing Lasts Forever by Roderick Thorpe. Number three, Farewell, My Lovely by Raymond Chandler. Number four is Make Room, Make Room by Harry Harrison. Number five is The Sheep Pig by Dick Kingsmith. Number six is All You Need Is Kill by Hiroshi Sakurazaka. Number seven is Red Alert by Peter George. Number eight, Queen Bees and Wannabes, Rosalind Weissman. And number nine, The Short Timers, Gustav Hasberg. And I will add, one more, real quick. Number 10, Oil! Exclamation point by Upton Sinclair.
Okay. I know one for sure.
All right, go ahead, Mark.
That's my low-hanging fruit. I was happy. It was the very first one. I thought, I'll get these. So Shoeless Joe by Kinsella became Field of Dreams, right?
That is correct.
All right.
We have the bell. Good. Go ahead.
Make Room, I'm almost positive, is Soylent Green.
Yeah.
It is Soylent Green, which, right. Spoiler alert, is People.
Right. Yes.
Well, now,
don't ruin it.
Now I can't watch it. Huh?
Oh no! You just for Charlton Heston's Dickies alone, you can watch that movie.
And just run over once more the other ones if you would, please.
Sure. Nothing Lasts Forever, Roderick Thorpe. Farewell, My Lovely, by Raymond Chandler. The Sheep Pig by Dick Kingsmith. All You Need Is Kill by Hiroshi Sakurazaka. Red Alert by Peter George, Queen Bees and Wannabes by Rosalind Weissman, The Short Timers by Gustav Hasford, and Oil by Upton Sinclair.
So Dana.
Well, Oil is There Will Be Blood.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
But the Farewell, My Lovely, that was made into, there was a version of film version called Farewell, My Lovely, of course.
Two, I think.
And yes, and... Maybe you're thinking of the first one, maybe, which was that The Big Sleep?
No, I didn't have it as The Big Sleep.
Well, The Big Sleep was based on The Big Sleep.
No, not The Big Sleep. It's the one with Dick Powell. Excuse me, Murder, My Sweet.
Murder, My Sweet. Yeah. That is what I was looking for.
Very good.
All right. Okay. So just give the ones you have left and then we'll move on.
All right. So the leading question, an animated sci-fi series that premiered on MTV's Liquid Television in 1991, was adapted as a live-action film in 2005. What was its title? And also, for these book titles that I give you, I'd like you to tell me the name of the famous movie adaptation. The ones we have left are Nothing Lasts Forever by Roderick Thorpe, The Sheep Pig by Dick Kingsmith, All You Need Is Kill by Hiroshi Sakurazaka, Red Alert by Peter George, Queen Bees and Wannabes by Rosalind Weissman, and The Short Timers, Gustav Hasford.
In a lead-in question, did the title change from it being on TV to when it went to the movies?
It didn't.
Okay. So it's the same. All the others, the title changed. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm sorry. And did you say the movie version was live action or not?
The movie version is live action.
Live action. Okay. All right. Okay. And Laurie, go ahead.
Well, I'm glad Kira and I attended rehearsal today because our questions overlap. My questions are about authors who have been portrayed in movies. These are all very famous authors. I'm going to give you a name of a very famous actor or actress, and I want to know which real-life author they portrayed in a mostly well-known movie. And there was one of these that inspired this. It's number 8. I have 8 of them. You know, all pretty well, all very well-known actors. You tell me which real-life author they played and in what movie. Number 1 is Nicole Kidman. Number 2, James Franco. Number 3 is Jason Robards. Number 4 is Jack Nicholson. Number 5 is Sandra Bullock. Number 6 is Kathy Bates. Number 7 is Bill Murray. And number 8 was the one that surprised me. It's the singer Sinead O'Connor. She played a very famous author in a version of a movie. And so we're looking for Nicole Kidman, James Franco, Jason Robards, Jack Nicholson, Sandra Bullock, Kathy Bates, and Sinead O'Connor. I'll give you maybe 2 each.
Oh, you said Bill Murray in there too, which I'd like you to say again, because that is one of the two I could do.
And Bill Murray.
There we go.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Kira, go ahead.
Okay, well, my 2, I'll take low-hanging fruit and go with Oscar winner for the role of Virginia Woolf, Nicole Kidman, in The Hours. The Hours.
Very good.
And then Bill Murray was Hunter S. Thompson in Shoot. I'm going to mess it. Is this Where the Buffalo Roam?
It is.
Okay.
Very good. All right. Dana, what do you have?
Well, Jack Nicholson was Eugene O'Neill in Reds.
He was.
And would you mind going over the others once more?
Yeah, the rest are Jason Robards, Sandra Bullock, James Franco, Kathy Bates, and the non-actor in the group, the singer, Sinead O'Connor.
Well, Jason Robards was Dashiell Hammett and Julia.
Correct. All right. Let's leave the rest out there.
All right.
Okay, ma'am. Sandra Bullock, James Franco, Kathy Bates, and Sinead O'Connor, all slightly less well-known and somewhat less, well, not less well-known actors. We'll leave that out there.
So do you know, Lori, who played Kurt Vonnegut in the excellent Gen X movie Back to School?
I do not. Who is that?
Oh, wait a minute. Let me think about this.
All right. You think about that.
It was in the Rodney Dangerfield film?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Kurt Vonnegut. Played by whom?
Interesting. Was it played by Kurt Vonnegut?
Yes. Although
he played himself,
we learned that he doesn't know the first thing about Vonnegut.
Yeah. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Fred in West Virginia via Florida after a recent visit to San Francisco. So New York City Mayor-elect Mamdani has promised free public transportation. I want to know who travels for free in San Francisco on the Muni. I have 4 groups that travel for free on the Muni.
Is veterans one?
No.
Do disabled or the elderly?
Elderly, yeah. We have seniors over 65, if they're residents of San Francisco, free. Disability, you need a card. I have 2 more categories.
What about school children?
Right. Any children, age is 18, no resident requirement. Anybody under 18 without any card or identification. And I got 1 more group.
How about Muni workers?
Nope.
Really?
That's a nope.
What about empresses?
Empresses pay specifically. Empresses right. need to pay.
I think Damien has an answer.
Damien?
You think what?
I think Damien, our producer, might have an answer for you.
Yeah, Muni workers.
Okay, what is it?
Muni workers do get on Muni for free.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, yeah. 1 more category. I got an additional 5th then.
Behind on the bells. That was for everybody. Yeah.
Okay, so it is people who have tickets for Giants games or Warriors games for that day.
Travel you mean all you have to do is show your ticket and you can ride for free?
Oh, you have to show your ticket or the way out. You have to have a ticket to get back on the Muni free on game day.
You buy a $200 ticket to the Warriors game and they get on free. Yeah. That's a
so all of the Munis
and
are just like
parking,
the shuttles?
Parking is quite high for those games. Okay, what is
Tara,
the only entire country that has free public transportation?
Interesting. How about Singapore?
No.
Did you say American city?
Or you said
no,
country?
No, no. You're a country. The entire country has free public transportation, including trams, trains, and it's not a communist country.
Vatican City.
You're close.
Ooh.
Our host may have been there if he was in Europe
Italy?
Recently.
Italy? That's a big,
Italy? Not Italy. Italy, you pay your libras.
Is it Rome?
San Marino?
No, it's not Rome because I had to pay.
No. One more guess.
San Marino?
Hello?
No. Luxembourg, the entire country. And what group in India rides public transportation?
Wait, Fred, did we get the answer to the transportation question?
Transportation question was Luxembourg.
Luxembourg.
The city and the country of Luxembourg. And what group rides free in India?
Is it a certain caste?
Well, it started in New Delhi, and now I think the entire country. No, it's not a caste. It's a group. It's a group.
The Shriners?
Yes.
One group?
One group, one guess?
No.
Time is up. Women.
Really?
Hmm. Women ride for free on the bus in New Delhi, India, and most of the country. And what country has buses free if there's a smoggy day? This is a little obscure.
Smoggy day.
How about
I'm getting so many bells. Prague, Czech Republic on a smoggy day.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Oh, and wait a second. an Oscar for Farewell, My Lovely, you were discussing. Who won an Oscar in that film?
Won an Oscar for Farewell, My Lovely. Which version are we talking about?
Supporting actress. The one that won an Oscar. Farewell, My Lovely.
The one with Robert Mitchum? Is it the woman?
Exactly. And Sylvester Stallone was it. Sylvia Miles is the answer. Oh my God, I get so many bells today. This is a bell record.
I think she was nominated, but I
don't think she won.
Yeah.
I'm with Dana.
All right, there's a yellow flag. Yellow flag thrown in.
We'll have our intern on it right away.
There may have a asterisk after my bell on this one. All right, thank you all.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Just to clarify, you don't get a bell when you answer your own questions. Fred lobbies for one, but he's not getting it.
Thanks very much. Appreciate the call. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10. Feel free to give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Those numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. I should say that we have an email from Douglas that says, is it Eon Flux is the show that you're looking for?
Douglas is correct that Eon Flux is Eon indeed Flux. The show.
Okay, good job. Good job on that, Douglas. All right. And let's see. It's my turn here. What am I thinking of? Okay, I'll give you a few questions here. In what country, this is an overall safety question that was written down in a magazine I just saw. In what country do residents and visitors feel the most safe walking home at night or walking alone at night? In what country do the residents and visitors feel the most safe walking alone at night?
What about Iceland?
Not Iceland.
I'm returning to Vatican City. I think I'd feel pretty safe there.
It is not in Europe. I will give you that.
All right.
Well, what about Singapore then?
Singapore is correct.
Really?
Yes. Yes. 98% of people feel safe walking alone at night in Singapore. Okay. I'm going to give you some Hitchcock character names, and this would be the leading lady and the leading man in two different films, and I want you to tell me what the films are. So the first two are Melanie Daniels and Mitch Brenner. Melanie Daniels and Mitch Brenner. That's the first film. And the second film would be Iris Henderson and Gilbert Redman. Two very well-known Hitchcock films. Which ones are they? First are Melanie Daniels and Mitch Brenner. The second are Iris Henderson and Gilbert Redman.
Is that Tippi Hedren in The Birds?
That is Tippi Hedren in The Birds. Who's the man? Any idea?
Rod Taylor.
Rod Taylor, that's correct.
God bless you, Lori. I did not know that.
Well, you got
Iris. So we're still looking for Iris Henderson and Gilbert Redman.
They sound like British names. Is this one of his British films?
He made films that took place in Britain later on, but
more like the 39 Steps than Rear Window.
Right.
So which one is it? Are you not telling us?
It's neither one.
Okay. But does this one take place in Britain?
It does.
Okay.
It does. Okay. Let's see. You answered the first one there. What is the oldest art museum in the Western states? That means west of the Mississippi. What is the oldest art museum? It still exists. It was founded in 1885. And I will tell you this, it's in California. The oldest art museum in all the Western states is in California. Which one is it?
And it's well known, so we should know it.
Yeah, well known. I've been there.
I guess the D. Young, because I can name no others.
Not the D. Young. Nope.
And is it in Northern California?
It is in California. Yeah. So what is the oldest art museum in the Western states? It happens to be in California. It's founded in 1885. All right, leave that out. And then here's the final one. So what I'm looking for here, this is a breakfast cereals question. I want the first six breakfast cereals put on the market by major companies, you know, Ralston, Purina, General Mills, Kellogg's, that were named after films. So I want the first six breakfast cereals that were named after films. And I will tell you that it starts in the early 1980s. Okay. And there's really nothing before that. So the first six breakfast cereals that were named after films.
This is for Kira.
Is what I was going to ask. If C-3PO, they were called like 3POs or something like that. Or does it need to be the film's name?
No, it has to be the film's name. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there was a Ghostbusters tie-in video. Ghostbusters?
There was. Yes.
Is that one of them?
Ghostbusters. That is one. That's... Ghostbusters is Ralston Purina. That's 1985. Yes. So that's yours for now. I'll let you chime in again later.
So I'm guessing Wuthering Heights was not one?
I think that's not yet, anyway.
I think it came a little bit later and not a big hit.
So again, what are the first six breakfast cereals named after film titles? Kira got the Ghostbusters cereal from 1985.
Do you know more of them, Kira? Like I can collaborate with you. Like, is there one for one of the ones like Chucky? Would there be anyone that grotesque?
Like horror ones?
Yeah.
Not that I recall. Okay. No horror.
Right.
I mean,
it could be a terrible idea. I just didn't know how terrible ideas sometimes can work out. All right.
Think about that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. So I'm going to be brief. This is Eid. I have two questions about social issues. So this morning on NPR, we heard about the Iranian police cracking down on women who don't cover their head. So the hijab, what it's called, is it Islamic culture or came over a thousand years later from the Ottoman Empire? Which, take a choice. Is it Islamic or Ottoman?
Ottoman.
Yes. The Prophet Muhammad's wife, she was his boss, and she wore clothes. It's disgraceful because the poor girl imprisoned her, killed her in prison for not covering part of her head. So in that, I emailed you Cairo, Egypt, 1948, had swimsuit beauty pageant. I have it posted in my first book, 1948. One of the contestants, she posted online, I love wearing bikini. Also, there's post of President Nasser, 1958, mocking the hijab. I haven't posted that in my first book yet, but I will. I'm Eid Abdullah. Second question, very quickly. Our beautiful, great actor, Egyptian actor, Omar Sharif, appeared in many movies, mentioned some of the names, House Week, Ron Sarabia, Night of the General, Funny Gear, and so on. Beautiful man. Sadly, he died some years ago. All right. So in 19, sometime during his fame, Omar Sharif visited Texas, and he stayed in some kind of a fancy, expensive motel with a bunch of other movie stars and so on. So this woman knocked on his door. She had a gun in her hand, and she asked him one of two choices. You need to give me an autograph or make love to me. Which one?
The latter.
Which did he choose?
No, she demanded that he make love to her.
Yes. Mm. Yes. I have it's a video. You can Google search it or have it posted in my Facebook. Beautiful man. He had a really good answer.
I know. It happens to me all the time.
Interview on TV. It was an interview.
That was
on, I forgot what TV channel, American TV channel. Watch it, everybody, on my Facebook page, M. Eid Abdullah. Thank you very much. Always a great show.
Thank you.
Everybody contributing to KLAW, which is one of the best stations we have in our life, especially in our miserable life these days. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you. All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. 10 o'clock every Saturday morning. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panels today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teaches at Davo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And we have room for you to call. We would love to talk to you if you have a question or answer for us. Those numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And Danny in Albany thinks that Kathy Bates played Gertrude Stein.
Did he give the movie?
Let me think. Midnight in Paris.
That is the Woody Allen movie. Very good. They usually call. Maybe something's wrong, but that's
well,
the answer.
Well, I couldn't wait.
Yep, I know. Very urgent. Very good. All right.
And let's see. Deb is wondering if the oldest art museum is the Stanford Museum. It is not. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Okay. So let's see. We have another call. Let's go to another call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Peter calling from Florida. Tell me, you mentioned earlier Soylent Green. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to chime in with something I said probably years ago. Where that name comes from?
Where the words Soylent Green come from?
Yeah, where they came
from the novel Make Room by Harry Harrison.
Maybe I actually don't know, but I remember figuring it out and I got it confirmed. Soylent Green. Now, did you see the movie?
Yes.
Well, weren't they claiming to make plant products out of soy and using them, you know, and hence the Soylent part?
I thought it was seaweed or something. Maybe it's not.
No, you're right. Seaweed.
Is it? Okay.
In the movie, they say from the people who brought you Soylent Yellow and Soylent Red, now new Soylent Green made from the abundance of the ocean. And that was a lie, because Soylent Yellow and Soylent Red may have been legitimate, like vegetable pasty things. But Soylent Green, we know what's Soylent. And it's a great movie because you can go into the movie saying, what's Soylent Green, knowing the title? And you don't get the answer till the very end of the movie. They answer the question of what Soylent Green is.
Or slightly before the end of the movie, if you can read lips.
Really?
Yes, the priest gives his confession.
Oh, that's his confession? The confession?
Yeah, that's... I think it was the priest. Now I don't remember if it was...
No,
pretty sure it was the priest, and then that's how Charlton Heston gets his information, and he's able to deliver the line to the greenest people.
Right, because I thought, because he goes into the factory where... Yeah. Anyway, but this is a... Do you remember what... Akira, what is geodesy?
I mean, it's the measurement of the Earth, various measurements of the Earth.
Yeah, geodesy, right. It's like, it's where we get the word geodetic.
Right.
Like a geodesic dome. So what is your, where you are in San Francisco, what's your antipod?
It's somewhere in the ocean by New Zealand.
No.
No.
No. Actually, it's very easy to Google it. I Google what's San Francisco's antipod.
Well, it's somewhere in the ocean because pretty much everywhere in the United States is somewhere. Actually, I think everywhere, including Alaska, in the United States is somewhere in the ocean.
You're right, but you got to get the right ocean. It's the Indian Ocean.
Okay.
And your antipod is... near Madagascar. So you know what the antipod geodetic we got geodetic, we got antipod. Mine is or New York area, the eastern point is obviously it's a good mental exercise. You could probably, if you're good at Rubik's cubes, you could probably figure out your antipod more easily. I'm just guessing. You know what I'm saying, right? Like having a way to conceptualize three-dimensional what's on the other side. All right, that's all. We got it all. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye. Take care.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Feel free to give us a call, 415-841-4134, or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Kira, I believe it's your turn.
What is the longest word used in any Shakespeare play, and what play is it in?
Is it a word we would recognize?
No, probably not.
Can you tell us what it means?
It's a weird one.
That makes it a lot harder.
Yeah.
A word we don't know and wouldn't recognize.
What was your question, Dana?
Can you give us a definition for it?
You know what? Yes, I can. It is a state of being able to achieve honors.
Does it have the word honor or some
root? It does. Yes, okay. I've spotted you the beginning.
Honorariable.
Yeah. So it's honorific, honor or something.
I will also let you know that at 27 letters, it's the longest word in the English language that strictly alternates between consonants and vowels.
Are we right to start with honor?
Yeah. So,
okay.
All right.
And which play is it in? Not that.
Well, that was the other half of the question. You tell me.
There's not much to go on here. Let's see.
Yes, there's a. I'm sure that there is some listener who has been waiting for this demonstration of Shakespeare knowledge.
Well, if there is, I guess they listen to this show. So, All right, leave it out. But we know it begins with honor, something.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And it has alternating consonants and vowels. That's really cool. Yeah. For 27 letters.
Is this how you became aware of it? Because it was alternating consonants and vowels?
No, I think that was just bonus content.
All right. Okay.
The icing on the honorificable cake.
I guess.
Yeah.
All right. And let's go to a call.
This is Dusty from Richmond.
Oops.
Hello,
sorry.
This is Dusty from Richmond.
Hi.
Yeah, I don't think anyone got the sheep pig. This is a guess. Is it Babe Pig in the City?
Oh, cut that answer off by most of the words and you have it right. Because I think the second one was, or was it
Of course.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry. Yes, of course, it's just Babe.
Babe, there we go.
Good job.
Oh, God.
Good job.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Nice job.
Quick call.
And if you want to give us a call, 415-841-4134. 4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Lori, it's your turn.
All right. Well, I was looking at a list of the all-time most watched last episodes of series. In the top 12, 9 of them are comedies. I don't want those. I want the 3 that aren't. So 3 of the top 12 most watched last episodes. The most famous by far is MASH, and then Cheers and Seinfeld are on the list. But I'm looking for the 3 that are dramas, scripted dramas that are the most watched last episodes of shows. What do you got?
Oh, one is The Fugitive, I'm sure.
It is. That's number 3 on the list with 76 million. Very good. Yeah. All right, Carrie, you got one?
No.
Okay.
So these, they can only be dramas.
They can only be dramas. Like I said, the rest are, maybe not surprisingly, the rest are all comedies, but they're, I thought it'd be more interesting just to add a shorter question.
Well, what about Saint Elsewhere?
Not Saint Elsewhere. A good guess.
How about Dallas?
Yes, Dallas is 12th on the list with 33 million. Okay. We'll leave the last one out
there. Let me ask you this. Yeah. Are these all in the sort of network TV era rather than cable?
Yeah, once cable came in, I think the audiences have never been that big. Mm-hmm. So MASH had 105 million people. Dallas had 33 million. I don't think any show gets anywhere near that. And this show is before 2000, the final one we're looking for. So there's one more out there. Which scripted drama? The last episode is in the top 12. We got The Fugitive in Dallas. We're looking for one more.
So it's just a drama. There's no genre involved.
I won't give more. I just say it's not. It's better to say it's not a comedy. That's what I would say.
Okay.
Yes. A scripted.
All right. Before we get to a call, let's quickly run over the questions we have out and Kira's turn you.
Okay, I've given you the titles of some books that were adapted into famous movies. I want you to tell me the titles of the movies. The ones we have left are Nothing Lasts Forever by Roderick Thorpe, All You Need Is Kill by Hiroshi Sakurazawa, Red Alert by Peter George, Queen Bees and Wannabes by Rosalind Weissman, and The Short Timers by Gustav Hasford. Also, what is the longest word used in any Shakespeare play, and which play is it in? And as a clue, it's a 27-letter word that is the longest word in the English language to strictly alternate between consonants and vowels. And also, the guys have determined that it starts with the word honor, H-O-N-O-R.
Is the Queen Bees and Wannabes, is that Heathers?
Oh, excellent guess. Correct vein, but no, it's not Heathers.
Okay. Or Mean Girls, maybe?
There it is. It's Mean Girls. No, yes, it's a self-help book.
Is it really?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I have a question. Is Red Alert, is the final title have the word red in it?
Of the movie, you mean?
Yeah, because there's a Red Dawn and a Red something else.
No.
Anyway, I am looking for, I'm going to give you, there's 3 more famous actors who have played famous authors in movies. We're needing James Franco, Sandra Bullock, and Sinead O'Connor, not a famous actress. And I'm looking for one more show that of the top rated all-time series finales. This is a drama, or let's say it's not a comedy. We have The Fugitive in Dallas. We're looking for one more.
All right. And I'd like to know what the oldest art museum in the Western states is. It happens to be in California, founded in 1885. And I gave you, I'm looking for a list of the oldest breakfast cereals that are named after films. The oldest breakfast cereals that are named after films. Kira got Ghostbusters, I believe. Ghostbusters cereal, and that is from 1985. I should say the oldest, they date no further back than the 1980s, just so you know.
And which is the most recent? Any in the 2000s?
I'm only looking for the first 6, so they're not going to go past the 1980s.
Okay, I didn't know there were that many.
Do I get another one yet?
You get mine.
What's that?
Do I get another one yet, or can I take Lori's guess on the cereal?
Pretty soon.
You have mine.
Don't worry. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is it I?
Hi, it's you.
Oh, this is Sacramento Slim with my semi-annual call.
Hey, good to hear from you. Yeah.
You guys are being awfully cheerful today, so I'm not going to ask a sports question or rock music. But I'm going to ask a couple of questions about the death penalty. 27 of the states allow the death penalty, but four of them are being paused, are not currently allowing it. Can you name those, any of those four?
Well, California is one, isn't it?
Number one?
Yeah.
Alphabetically.
The four are pausing. Is New York one?
No.
Okay. Didn't Illinois do that a few years ago?
Not currently.
Okay.
This is the California bill. Are they blue states or bluish?
I would say that one is blue, one is purple, and one is red.
I know there was a case. What state was that?
What about Ohio for the purple?
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Karen.
I have Ohio for red.
Okay.
Well, we'll count it.
No, the case I was thinking of was in, where is it? Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania is one of the four.
Where they were going to execute somebody, and then it turned out this person was innocent.
So we need one more.
Let's see. California.
And is the final one, is it blue, red, or purple?
Say that again, sir.
Is there our final state blue, red, or purple?
Pennsylvania was purple for me.
So the one we have left
is blue. Must be blue.
The one we have left is blue, and it's in the western states.
Oh, we think.
Oregon?
Yeah, that's good.
Oregon it is. That's good. Okay, one more. There are four states. I'm sorry. Name the top four states for numbers of executions in 2025.
Oh, Texas must be number one.
Texas is tied for second.
What about Missouri?
No.
Okay.
Florida?
Good guess.
Florida is number one with 16. It has, they've killed more people this year than the next three combined.
Is Utah one?
No.
Okay.
Let's think Southern.
Yeah.
Well, I'll play Mississippi.
Close.
Alabama.
Alabama.
How about Oklahoma?
Yes. No, Oklahoma only had two, and one of them was just before yesterday. It was commuted, and the guy almost died afterward from dehydration and stress. Wow. He's okay.
So we need one more.
And that was commuted by a governor who I don't think he's ever commuted one before. Time is running short, so I'll give you the last one was South Carolina. Texas, Alabama, and South Carolina had five. And one curious note, no females on that list. 43 have been executed this year. Okay, that's it for me. Nice Thanks. Show. I love the show.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate your call.
Call, Sacramento.
Goodbye. Right.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10. Thank you very much for listening. And feel free to give us a call, 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hello. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Cynthia in the Sunset.
Hi.
And my answers are the oldest art museum in the West is, I believe, the Crocker in Sacramento.
You are absolutely right. Crocker Art Museum in Sacramento. Good job.
Nice.
Okay, and... the book Red Alert was made into the film Dr. Strangelove.
Oh.
That is correct.
Good job.
My favorite film. And I believe there was a Gremlins breakfast cereal.
There was a Gremlins breakfast cereal. Yes, 1984, Ralston Purina. Good job.
And also a Batman cereal.
That's not one of the six first ones, anyway.
Okay. That is all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good Good work.
Yes, yes, yes. There was a Gremlins breakfast cereal for all of you who were dying to know that.
So and, if Batman is not included, that means all of our breakfast cereals end before 1989?
Like, no, that would be, I think the last one on my list is 1991.
Oh, okay.
Maybe the Batman cereal wasn't named for the movie. Maybe it was named for the comic. I don't know. There might
be a technicality. It was a tie-in with the, yeah. So I believe it was a tie-in. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello?
Yeah, hi, this is Greg in Alameda.
Hey, Greg.
Hi.
Yes? What's your question?
So, speak up.
Yes.
All right, thank you, Greg. Good call.
Queen bees and wannabes is Mean Girls, isn't it?
That is correct. It is Mean Girls.
Okay. And I have a guess on the breakfast cereal. How about E.T.?
Yes.
That is correct. Yes, okay. E.T., breakfast cereal. Good job.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Must have a stock of it at home. Yeah.
Yeah, he never throws anything out, so I wouldn't be surprised. all right. Oh, let me give you a quick question here. I believe we have time for that. What is, in the breakfast cereal vein, what is Captain Crunch's full name?
It's Horatio. Oh, he has a middle name, doesn't it? But
he does.
Horatio. It's Horatio.
Yes. Ebenezer.
No.
Oh, I don't even remember if the middle name is an actual name or it's an adjective.
It's an actual name. It's an actual name.
So he's Captain Horatio.
It's like Horatio Aloysius Crunch or something.
No, it's a tie-in. It's a nautical sort of middle name.
Is it like Horatio? It refers to another famous nautical captain? Okay.
Yes.
So, who are famous nautical, like,
James.
Queeg. No. How about Queeg?
No, not Queeg. Not Bly either.
A bad choice.
Yeah.
Captain Nemo. I don't know.
It will come to you.
Yeah. Ishmael.
He wasn't the captain, I don't think.
Is it Ishmael?
How about Ahab?
You can't call him that. What?
Ahab? Captain Ahab?
No, it's not Ahab.
Yeah, Ishmael never made captain, I don't think.
No.
No.
All right.
Well, was it a captain or just nautical?
Yes, it was a captain. Okay. It's a captain that came to a bad end.
Oh.
British?
I'm not going to say.
Okay. Who was the admiral at Trafalgar?
No, that's Nelson. So he already has the Horatio.
Okay.
That's after Nelson.
All right.
So what is Captain Crunch's full name? It'll come to you. And I don't think I gave the Hitchcock. Yeah, so we're still looking for on the Hitchcock one. We're still looking for the two these are the two lead characters in which Hitchcock film, Iris Henderson and Gilbert Redman. So leave that out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Rita in San Francisco.
Hi, Rita.
Hi. I have a question. What is the furthest inland U.S. port that handles ocean-going vessels?
Well,
how about Chicago? It's further than that, or Chicago? Because I think Chicago does do the St. Lawrence Seaway. Ultimately.
So is it tied in any way to the Great Lakes or not?
Yes.
Okay.
So Cleveland? I'm trying to think of.
No.
No? Are we in the right area?
We already asked Chicago, so no.
Well, I mean, if it's not Chicago, if it's further than that, we're going to have to go west because the Great Lakes are not in the center of the country. They're slightly to the east of it, I believe.
But is that right? Are we thinking right? It's west of Chicago?
They also go north.
Ooh.
Okay. So let's see. We have like Milwaukee or...
Would Minneapolis?
That's true. Sault Ste. Marie? No.
So did you, did, it's none of those? It's not Milwaukee or Minneapolis or Sault Ste. Marie?
No, it's not.
But we're in the right, it's, we're it's, in the right neighborhood, right?
Right. It's two sister ports that are in two different states. One of them I'm sure you've heard of. The other I'm not so sure.
So is this Wisconsin and Minnesota?
Yes.
All right. And it's not Minneapolis. So what about St. Paul?
No, farther north.
Duluth?
Yes, it's Duluth, Minnesota, and Superior, Wisconsin, 2,300 miles from the Atlantic Ocean.
And these ocean vessels.
And, yeah, to get there, it is via the St. Lawrence Seaway, which someone mentioned earlier.
Right.
And which four of the Great Lakes?
Which four does it go through?
Yes.
Yeah, well, Michigan and Michigan and Superior for sure.
Yeah.
And then, let's see.
No, it does not go through Michigan.
Oh, really?
Well, then it must go through.
Well, then the others are Erie.
And Huron. Right?
And Huron.
Yeah.
And Ontario.
Yeah, Ontario and Superior.
Yeah,
Ontario,
yeah.
Right.
I remember that from Holmes. Those are the Great Lakes, H-O-M-E-S. So there's the Menominee. Very good.
Okay, and just a quick question about Lake Tahoe and Lake Superior. Which one is larger in volume?
Well, Tahoe is the deeper, isn't it?
That's correct. Yes, that's correct. It's about 300 feet deeper than Superior.
So would that make it higher in volume?
No, I think Superior is still the bigger volume.
I do too.
Is it? You're absolutely right. It's about 100 times bigger.
Whoa.
Way, way, way bigger.
Oh, I was
way
close. Bigger.
That's why it's Superior.
That's right. Hey, is Captain Crunch's middle name Hornblower?
It is not. That's an excellent guess, though.
Okay. All right. Thanks for a wonderful show. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying it. Feel free to give us a call, 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, or toll-free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there. It's Tom in Southern California.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, everybody. Kira, the short timer's is Full Metal Jacket.
Nice job. It is Full Metal Jacket.
Thank you. And is All You Need Is Kill, is that a Japanese movie as well?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
Since time is short, I will add that it is a Tom Cruise movie.
It's not Born on the 4th of July, probably.
No.
No. No, I have no idea.
Oh, which is the one he's with Jamie Farr?
It's not that.
Okay.
Is that the one where he's always Collateral. Disguised Jamie and he's Fox. Reincarnated over and over?
Yes, there's the one where he gets reincarnated over
but
and
can't,
over.
I can't remember that.
It was...
Oh, and the, yeah.
They had, what's that?
And they. Oh, and they're using the name, the Live, Die, Repeat.
Right. They ended up using
the original
as a
name, which they're using that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think they're going to use it for the sequel, I understand.
Tom, did you say the name of the film? I didn't hear it.
I said the original name that they changed, and now the other name is...
Day After Tomorrow?
The Doug Liman film, Emily Blunt. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, Lori almost got it. I'll give it to you. Edge of Tomorrow,
And movie serials, how about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
That's a good guess, but it's not in the first six anyway.
Well, I think it was named for the...
TV show.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Okay, that's all. Well, I'll ask a quick question. The wife of what musician died on stage during a memorial to that musician?
Whoa.
What kind of musician was this? In other words, what kind of music?
Jazz.
Jazz.
What? Give us a year, because I'm looking at time.
This would be in the, I believe it was in the, would be the late 60s, early 70s. That's a good question.
Jazz musician, his wife died during the tribute, the memorial to him on stage. Was she a performer too?
She was. She wasn't as well known, but she was a performer. Yeah.
We know her name.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No.
What instrument? Maybe we need a quick hint.
Well, if I did that, it would be a trumpet.
Miles Davis?
No.
No.
Dizzy Gillespie?
No.
Louis Armstrong?
Louis Armstrong, yeah.
Really?
About a month after they had a memorial, and his wife, Lil Hardin, she died on stage performing at a memorial.
Never heard that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Sad but true.
Miles Davis was married to Cicely Tyson.
Thank you very much. Adios. Appreciate it.
Wasn't Miles Davis married to Cicely Tyson?
At one point. I don't know if he was married to him when he died. But.
Okay. All right.
Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, it's Peter Bernal.
Hi, Peter.
Quick question then. Which candidate for U.S. president is credited with naming a geographic feature in San Francisco?
So this happened a very long time ago, I'm assuming?
Yes.
And it was a candidate for president, not a president?
Correct.
Is the geographic feature the Golden Gate?
It is.
Oh,
okay.
And who was it?
John C. Fremont?
Yes, very good.
Nice.
All right.
That's it for me.
All right, good show. Thank you.
Good question.
Thank you. It's good to end on a winning note, for me anyway. All right. Thank you very much for that. And let's clean up here. What do we have?
Real quick, since Greg called in with E.T., I'll ask, is Jurassic Park our 1991 serial?
Jurassic Park is just out of the money. So it's I think it's number 9, and I was looking for the top 6. But there was a Jurassic Park crunch.
Yes. All right. Well, the only book I have left is Nothing Lasts Forever by Roderick Thorpe, which became Die Hard.
Hmm.
The longest word in any Shakespeare play, spoken by co-starred in Love's Labour's Lost, and that word is honorifica bilitudinitatibus, which means a state of being able to achieve honors, and that's what I have.
All right.
That caught on very big. Of the top viewed last episode of series, that's the drama, the one we're missing is Magnum P.I., which had 50 million viewers in 1988.
Oh, God, wasn't it called, like, Limbo or something like that?
I don't know, but I think so. And then the actors who played famous authors, Sandra Bullock played Harper Lee in Infamous. James Franco played Allen Ginsberg in a movie called Howl, of all things. And then Sinead O'Connor was Emily Bronte in the introduction to Wuthering Heights in 1992. She had introduced her own book, so to speak, the Ralph Fiennes one. Just
learned. Interesting.
That was the one that just inspired me. I heard that yesterday.
All right. Captain Crunch's full name is Horatio Magellan.
Magellan.
Of course.
Magellan, yes. And Iris Henderson, a Hitchcock question. Iris Henderson and Gilbert Redman are the character names of the two leads in The Lady Vanishes. Mm-hmm. And the breakfast cereals, the first 6 breakfast cereals that are named after movie titles. The Gremlins, 1984. Beetlejuice, 1984. E.T., 1982. Ghostbusters, 1985, Karate Kid serial, 1985, and Addams Family, 1991. So there we go. We didn't get your call. I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We certainly enjoy talking to you. Our panel today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teaches at Dabo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Damon D. Miner for handling important phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We do hope you will join us next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
It's 11 o'clock. You're listening to 91.7 FM, KALW San Francisco, the Bay Area, and beyond at KALW.org and the KALW app.